God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. So yesterday I was taking my 10-mile run. Okay, actually I was taking my 4-lap walk with my wife here on the Bill Rice Ranch. And for the second time in probably 4 days, I passed a neighbor's house. There are a number of houses here on Bill Rice Ranch. And there was this amazing aroma wafting from the grill on my neighbor's carport. And I thought that was really cruel for him to do while I was thinking about bettering my health. He was tempting me to eat 3 or 4 hamburgers on my way around. Now, if I'd gone over there and saw who was there and I saw my neighbor and suppose I saw, you know, a couple other neighbors there, that would not be surprising. That would be what you'd expect to find. These are neighbors. They are in the same neighborhood. They work with the same ministry, Bill Rice Ranch. They would be expected to be seen together. But suppose I'd gone over there and I'd not only seen my neighbor, but perhaps suppose I'd seen Elon Musk. You know, my neighbor's talking about summer camp or something else, and Elon Musk is talking about missions to Mars. I mean, you just wouldn't expect to find those two people in the same neighborhood, let alone at the same grill. Now, sometimes in the Bible, you find a couple characters together that you think, what are these doing together? Is this a comparison or is this a contrast? You would not expect to find these two together. And you find such in 2 Peter chapter 2. Now, the context is verse 1, where the Bible says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. So there have been false teachers, there will be false teachers. So are we to panic? No, God is up to this. And that's the point being made. It begins in verse 4 and ends in verse 9. It's a if-then proposition. Verse 4 says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, verse 5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah. Verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. Verse 7, and delivered just Lot. Verse 9, the implied word is then the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. And so the point is, there will be false teachers just as there have been. And God will judge the wicked and will deliver the righteous just as he always has. Now, two examples he gives here would be Noah and Lot. He spared not the old world, that is, God sent a flood, but he saved Noah. The Bible says that he destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, but he delivered, quote, just Lot, who was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Now, quite frankly, you would not even know that Lot was a righteous man if you stop reading halfway through the Bible. You have to get all the way to 2 Peter to define God's commentary, what God actually knew, that Lot was a just man, that is, before God. So, let me ask you a question. If you know about Noah and Lot, would you consider them two characters that should be compared or contrasted? Well, if they were in your church, I think you'd think, what are they doing here together? I mean, this is as unlikely as my neighbor and Elon Musk being at the same house eating the same hamburgers. So why would you have Abraham and Lot together, apparently in comparison? And the reason you think that is because they were so different. But they are compared in 2 Peter. They are compared. So what do they have in common? Well, things that you wouldn't normally think of. The Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. The Bible says that Lot was just Lot. The Bible says that God delivered Abraham and God delivered Lot. The Bible tells us the story of Noah, who lived in a wicked world, and Lot, who lived in a wicked city. So those are the things they had in common. But what you think about is how they were different. Okay, how were they different? Well, the clue is found in verse 5, where the Bible says that Noah was the 8th person. Well, who were the 8? That would be Mr. and Mrs. Noah, their 3 sons, and those sons, 3 wives. It's 8 people. You might remember that in contrast, Abraham was pleading for God to spare Sodom and Gomorrah, where Lot lived, and he couldn't even find 10 people that were righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah, and that included Lot and all of his family. They weren't doing what's right. You might recall that when Lot went and warned his daughter about the destruction to come, the Bible says that the son-in-law thought that Lot mocked. It wasn't that he thought that Lot was mocking them, no. It wasn't that he mocked Lot, rather, I should say. No, he thought Lot was mocking them, and the reason for this is because it was so out of character. Lot was not a spiritual man. He was not a man who talked of God. And so for him to come and say, hey, God's judgment is falling, was totally out of character. So in short, Noah didn't save the world, but he saved his family. Lot didn't save the city, but he didn't even save his own family. Now that's stark, and that's worthy of note. You know, sometimes we think that the problem with Lot is that he was in Sodom. We say Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. I'm not saying that ended well, but are we suggesting that Abraham lived in a wholesome, healthy Christian world? No, no. The problem was not primarily that Lot lived in Sodom. The problem primarily was that Sodom lived in Lot. Look, Lot was saved because of what God knew, but Lot's family was lost because of what they knew. Look, I can't change the world I leave my kids. Sometimes I look at the future and I think, what will that hold for my children? I cannot change the world I leave my kids, but I can change the kids I leave my world. And in doing that, I might actually change my world as well. The reason you can listen to this today is because Noah saved his family. God saved his family, and therefore, we are the descendants of Noah. In short, Noah changed the world by doing what was right by his family. Now, Noah was not perfect in any way. There were some horrible lapses there, no doubt. But the point for you and me today is, look, start with the people you know. Do you want to win the world? Win your family. Do you want to help the world? Help your family. Do you want to make a difference in the world you know of? Then start with the family God has given you. The fact is, there are a lot of things that we cannot change, but we should focus on the people close at hand. It should not end there, but we should begin by being the right kind of example and influence and atmosphere for our neighbors, our coworkers, and certainly our family. Start with the people you know. Lot was delivered, but he was the only one that was delivered. Noah was delivered. He didn't deliver the entire world, but he delivered his family. And in delivering his family, he changed the world.